Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
I had the chance this morning just to kind of start the message on the broadcast this morning, and then there's a whole lot of it I didn't get to, and as I prayed about it, God just gave me liberty to share it tonight, and it fits, and it's purposeful, and it's good for all of us. And so I want to share that. Fourth chapter of Genesis is where we'll begin. Genesis chapter number 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. That means he brought the best. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. The Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. That's all we'd like to read. Father, we pray for your word tonight, that it be, Lord, effective as it touches our hearts, that it would draw us nearer to you. I thank you for this flock, for their hunger for your truth. I praise you for the Holy Spirit that is so faithful to send it to us. We pray for your help as we know we need it. We thank you for what you're going to do. Pray for the unction of the Spirit of Christ to move in this place and to accomplish the very thing you intend and purpose to do. We love you and we thank you as we pray it earnestly in Jesus' name. Amen. We may think today that God was harsh on Cain. But the truth is we serve a holy God. Don't forget that. The problem with us is we think in a human level. We think in terms of our finite mind, in a mind that is cursed by the nature of our flesh, which is sinful. I want to remind us tonight that God is not sinful. Never has been. He is holy, righteous, and perfect. And therefore, he knows the difference between an offering that is given, that is the best, and what is not. He knows.
Amen. Bless him, Lord.
When I am half-hearted.
That's right.
He knows when I don't give my all.
Amen.
He knows when I am indifferent. And I want to share tonight the message, there is no middle ground.
Bless the Lord.
Don't ever forget that, Jeb. There is no middle ground. What we do for God, we do 100%.
Amen.
Anything less, hear me, is not accepted.
Amen.
I hope that strikes a chord in every heart. Because I found myself this week as I hope you get this. I have to eat this stuff all the time, over and over, before you ever get it. So he really tunes me up with this before I can ever share it. There's no middle ground with God. The Bible said that Abel brought the firstlings, the fat ones, the best ones. Abel did his best to look at what God had blessed, and he picked out the finest, the best ones, and those he took unto God as an offering. And God accepted it. Were they perfect? I don't know. I don't know whether they were perfect in every way. That wasn't the point. What Abel did was he selected from what he had an ability to choose from. So God's not asking me to be him or him. He's asking in the areas of my life, in the ways that he has blessed me, in the specific or particular talents that he has given me, he is asking me to do the best I can with them. Anything less, God does not accept it. Now that doesn't make God harsh. It makes him holy. It makes him right. Because with God there is no middle ground. We're either right or we're not right. There's not a place where you can straddle the fence with God. And so serve him on Sunday and yet on Monday live as you will. God don't work that way. You fooled yourself, you've deceived yourself if you think that somehow God accepts a half-hearted life or a Christian who is giving only part of what they have to God, or they're selecting some of the best for their own selves while they give God the second best. Israel was guilty of that over and over, and they felt the wrath and judgment of God for it. The Bible said that God rejected Cain's offering. Why? Because it was vegetables and not a lamb? No. The Bible said that Cain was a tiller of the ground. The reason God didn't accept Cain's offering is because it wasn't his best. It wasn't his best. Cain had every opportunity to select from the first fruits that were produced from his harvests and offer them unto God as an offering. And God knows the difference between your best and second best.
Amen.
Or for some of us, third best or fourth best. With God, there's no middle ground. You can't play both sides with God. He's a jealous God, by the way. And a holy God and a powerful God. Put all of those things together and you'll quickly find out that he doesn't play with compromise. There's no middle ground with God. And we find that in the first of the book. You can turn to the last of the book and you can also find where he said, I wish to God you were hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. It makes me sick to think of your half-heartedness. For you trying to be both worldly and godly, it does not work. From the front of the book to the back of the book and all in between, you will find that God does not have a middle ground. There is no place where God compromises holiness. There is nowhere where God compromises his expectation from you and I, nor should he. Nor should he. The very least I can do is to offer unto God my best. Always, Jeb, I'm picking on you now because you won't be here very long. I can keep picking on you. But everybody needs to hear me. God accepts nothing but our best. Amen. How many times have you come to church and it wasn't your best and you know it? How many times did you show up and your mind was on everything but God? I assure you, you may have intended to worship, but you did not that day. Because God will not receive anything that is less than holy. God will not accept it. He never has and he never will. God only accepts our best. There's no middle ground. Let me share with you just a few scriptures as we try to bring across this simple truth. Please get this. It'll revolutionize everything in your spiritual life if you'll simply understand this simple thing. That God has no middle ground. I want you to remember Noah. The Bible said that Noah was given instruction of God and he obeyed God and he built the boat. 120 years it took this man to construct such a large floating vessel that would hold two and two of all the different kinds that needed to be loaded. He obeyed God and so did his family. The Bible said that his wife and his three sons and their wives, they all worked on it, and when the day came for God to send the rain or for God to shut the door, he told Noah, he said, get on board. Now, according to the word of God, Noah preached all this while trying to tell people that they better get on board because their God's going to send a flood. And the Bible said on that day when Noah entered into the ark that God shut the door. The Bible said a week later it set into raining and it didn't quit. And it rained until it flooded everything. May I say to you today, God didn't park the boat a week later and say, well, there's some ready now to board. God didn't stop it. God didn't suddenly open the door when the first raindrop started and said, now do you believe me? No, what I'll say to you is on that day there was no middle ground with God and there's still no middle ground. Everyone that was not on the ark perished in the flood. God doesn't compromise. Now, he's gracious and merciful. And I can assure you of this. His message is going out and you've heard it. The question is what are we going to do with it? And do we compromise with it? How many times do we put something in front of God? How many times in our lives do we place something that we esteem higher or more important? You say, I don't think it's more. Yes, you do. We can't say one thing and then do another and expect it to have some kind of reasonable compromise for God that he'll accept. Either God is first in our lives or he's not. There's no middle ground. The Bible said when he spoke to Abram, I spoke about this morning. And he told him, take your son up there and offer him unto me. And Abraham did so. And when he got to the top of the mountain, he tied his son up and there he would have took his life. And yet the Bible said that God spoke to him and he said, stay your hand, Abraham. He said, for I now know that you'll not withhold anything from me. There was no middle ground with God, not even Isaac. I say to you today that Jesus Christ must be the most important thing in my life. My wife is not more important than Christ. Cannot be. My family is not more important than Christ. This church is not more important than Christ. There is one God, one Lord, and one Savior. No one can be greater than Christ. There is no middle ground. People compromise every day and they justify what they do. And what they're doing is they're taking from the best and they're removing their offering unto God and they're throwing back unto God what's left over of a week, what's done in a day. And they'll watch TV for hours and give God 10 minutes, if at all 10 minutes. May I say to you today, God doesn't accept less than best. There's no middle ground. No middle ground. Doesn't mean that God is unconcerned or unloving. It means he's holy. And we need to get that. God is holy. He made a way for us to worship him. He made a way for us to be reconciled unto him, even though we sinned and had separated ourselves from God. You'll notice that is in the children of Israel when he introduced the sacrificial system, when Moses brought to pass the pure lambs that were to be offered. Notice they were pure, without spot and without blemish, kept up for multiple days as they inspected them for their perfectness. And only those things were to be offered unto God. Why? Not because God was over demanding, but because God is holy.
Amen.
There is nothing that can come from you and I that is presented unto God except that which is our very best. You say, preacher, I can't do what you do, or I can't do what another. He's not asking you to do somebody else's work. What he's asking you is to do your best. Don't tell me we all do our best all the time. Every one of us are guilty of this. We try to compromise with God on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or a fellowship or a visitation or a dinner or whatever it might be. We can tell ourselves 1,000 times that there's something more important than God, and God understands, but it is not true. He accepts nothing but our best. There's no middle ground with God. And there need not be. Let me remind you, he's God. You're not. He's worthy. You're not. We're only in by grace anyhow. We're only a part of it because he gave his son. And his son gave his blood. And he died for my sin. That's the only way we're in anyhow. The very least I can do is my best, and that is my reasonable service. My best. There's no middle ground. Moses, when challenged by Korah and all of those unbelievers in that day as they rose up against Moses, God spoke to Moses and he said, "You tell them right now that every one of them that want to be on my side, they better move."
That's right.
Huh?
That's right. No middle ground.
And he let them know. He said, "If you're on God's side, you better get over here." And I mean now.
Amen.
They did. The ones that were not on Korah's side, they moved over. And the Bible said what? The earth opened up its mouth and it swallowed every one of them and closed back. He can do, by the way, whatever he wants to do. And be right and holy in doing it. And he dealt with it then. Why? Because there ain't no middle ground. There's no seconds that can be offered unto God. When Joshua had led the children of Israel to Jericho, the one thing that God said to do was, "You make sure they understand when they get into Jericho and I have defeated Jericho for them, that they take nothing of the spoils." Nothing. And yet one man did. One out of tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of soldiers that had infiltrated the walls of Jericho when God brought them down. One man, only one man took something from that wasn't his. And the Bible said, God stopped fighting for them.
Amen.
They went out with just a few hundred men to defeat the little town of Ai, and they got embarrassed. Lost 36 men in the battle and come running home with their tail between their legs. And Joshua hit his knees. Started crying out unto God. It's a different story. But when he prayed unto God, God told him, he said, "You've got sin in the camp." Ain't no middle ground with God. Joshua didn't even know there was sin in the camp. God knows. God knows. He said, "You deal with the sin." And he did. They dealt with the sin. And God took care of Ai for them. Ain't no middle ground with God. We'll either do what he says or we're going to be disobedient and find ourselves chastened of God. There's no middle ground. At the end of Joshua's life, he laid on his deathbed and he made this statement. He said, choose you this day who you'll serve. He said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That was another place one of the prophets said, how long halt ye between two opinions? He said, if he's God, serve him. But if he ain't God, serve the other one. There ain't no middle ground. You can't serve both. You're fooling yourself if you think God plays around in that arena. He does not. He's holy. He doesn't have to. He's not the one in jeopardy. You are. He's not the one in danger of the flames of hell's fire. You are. There ain't no middle ground with God. He's holy. He expects our best. And he should. He should. Some of us get up early on Mondays and we go to work and we do our best for our employer. Good for you. I believe that's godly. That's biblical. Whatever you do, he said, do it as unto the Lord. My challenge is I don't think you do that well with God. I don't think we do that well with him. I don't think we work as hard for God as we do our employers. And if it don't fit, don't wear it. But if it does fit, we need to repent. Amen. Because God deserves our best. No middle ground. Whether we're playing hockey, whether we're fighting fires, whether we're going to battle for somebody sick, whether we're praying for somebody, whether we're worshiping in a service, whether we're faithful to our church, faithful to our families, whatever it is, we ought to give our best. But we should never, never allow anything to be greater in our lives than God. Jesus Christ. When David stepped onto the battlefield and saw the fight had not ensued, and that there was a stalemate because of the fear, he stepped forward and said, I'll fight him. And when he was taken to Saul, and Saul said, you can't fight him, David explained he could. And when he was convinced he could, Saul tried to put his armor on him. And David looked at him and said, I can't wear it. I can't take this. Why? He said, I've not proved it. I don't know that God will bless me with this, but I do know that he'll bless me with my sling. I do know that he'll bless me when I have my staff. And when David stepped on the battlefield, he did so not in the power of David, but in the name of the Lord. He wasn't bringing to God something that was less than his best. And though the odds were all against him, he had God. And I assure you, he won that day. There's no middle ground with God. But when we give our best, my goodness, look at what happens. Look at what God does. When we give our best. So you preach as if your best is perfect. It is not. As a matter of fact, God has already spoke about my best. He said, my righteousness. It's his filthy rags. But let me give you a staggering thing. He accepts it. Why? Because from my heart, it was my best. God said, Ramona, he said, I'll take that. Compared to him, it's just rags. When it come from my heart. You remember Jesus as he stood there that day in the temple and they were coming around and giving alms. They were pitching into the plate as you would their offerings. And this poor little widow makes her way around. This poor woman didn't have nothing to give. Never made eye contact with the King of Glory. I don't believe she looked up. She just made her way around. And as she walked by, she dropped
couple things in the plate. It don't mean nothing to the world. But you know what that was? That was her best. Whoa, and that woke up glory.
Amen.
You mean 2 pennies? Yep. That woke up glory. Jesus said, hey, did you see that?
Right. Amen.
What he's offering us is way beyond what we've ever given.
Amen.
What he's asking of me, I can do. I can do. He said, did you see what she did?
That's right.
She put in those 2 mites. He said, she gave more than anybody else. How in the world? Because there ain't no middle ground with God.
Right.
When somebody gives of their best, if it's a nickel, glory is responding. Why? Because it was their best. He was clear with, he said, Cain, he said, if you had just given your best, would I not have accepted it? But you did not, therefore sin lieth at your door. You sinned because you didn't give me your best. God will accept our offerings, but they have to be our best. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? You'll remember they had to choose. The king had built this enormous false god in the middle of the desert, and the command was given that when the music was played, everybody was to bow and to worship that god. But here stood 3 men that already made up their mind. Now, if it'd been us or some of us, we'd have probably tucked and run, right? I know what's going to happen here. But they stuck it out. The Bible said the music was played and they didn't bow. They went and told the king. The king brought them in and said, I like you fellas. I'm just going to give you another chance. You friends with Daniel. I believe that's what he knew. They were associated with Daniel. I'm going to give you another chance. He said, but mark my words. This is your last chance. Music was played. But before that, they responded. They gave the king their answer. You know what they told him? Ain't no middle ground with God. They said, O king, we're not careful to answer you concerning this matter. For be it known unto you this day that the God we serve will and is able to deliver us. But even if he don't, we will not bow unto your idol.
Amen.
There's no middle ground. And you know the story. The rest of the story ain't the message. The message is the middle ground. They recognized that when they told Daniel, you can't pray anymore. Did Daniel change his schedule?
No.
Right? He could have easily went into hiding and started praying at night. But Daniel didn't change anything. Why? Because to Daniel, there was no middle ground with God. He was going to pray 3 times a day. And he continued and found out that by giving his best to God, lions found him untasty.
Amen.
It benefits us, does it not, to give our best unto God? Let me go into the New Testament quickly and I'll finish. John the Baptist, when he came preaching, he was clear, it ain't me. He said, I must decrease while he increases. There was no middle ground. Jesus said it like this, it's either God or it's mammon. You can't serve both. Remember that? In one part, Jesus would write this clearly. He said, you cannot serve 2 masters. You'll either love the one and hate the other or cling to the one and despise the other. You cannot have both. There's no middle ground. It's either all God or it's no God. It's either our best or it's not accepted. Jesus would tell them in one place, except you also repent, you shall all likewise perish. Doesn't sound to me like he was compromising his message. You think just because that these people died, 18 of them building the Tower of Siloam, that somehow they were a worse sinner than anyone else? No, he said, except you also repent, you'll also likewise perish. There's no middle ground with God. God doesn't compromise. He doesn't have to compromise. He won't compromise. And for us to play that silly game with God is an abomination. It's sinful. It's the sin of Cain. Trying to offer unto God something that's not holy. It's not blessed. It's not our best. I'll finish with this. 1 John. The Holy Spirit, when he spoke unto John in this, began to share with him some truths. And I want to read to you. I put down in my notes 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 2. I pulled some verses. But I want to read these to you. He said, "This then is the message we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." That sound like a God that compromises? No. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." No middle ground. Right? You can say you have fellowship with God, but if you walk in darkness, you do not have fellowship with God, period. There's no middle ground. There's no having it your own way. This ain't a fast food restaurant, right? He's a holy God and accepts a great deal that is likely suspect. When it's coming from me, for sure. But if it's my best, he takes it, accepts it. You think every one of them little lambs that they offered unto God were actually pure? But had they put them up? Yes. Had they inspected them for spot and blemish? Yes. Had they done what he had told them to do? Yes. And therefore, when they presented unto God, he said, yes. It was their best. 1 John 2, verse number 4, "He that saith, I know him," hear me now, "and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." We got them aplenty. Everybody ask, "You going to heaven?" "Yep." "Have you been born again?" "Yep." And yet they live in sin and do not the commandments of Christ. You know what the Bible says about that? They lie. Why? Because there's no middle ground. See, the definition for these things are hypocrisy. We're just hypocrites. If we say we're a born-again believer, we're a child of God, we worship in the fact we get to go to heaven, we rejoice in all these wondrous things and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and yet we won't even give God 100% of our time, of our money, of our day, of our effort, of our purpose. As a matter of fact, most of us feed everything else in our realm before we ever take a scrap to God. It's unaccepted, right? Here's the truth. You are not making any offering to God in that way because he simply won't receive it. It's the sin of Cain. There's no middle ground. Last one. He told them in the same chapter, chapter number 2 of 1 John. He said, "Those that love the world and yet say they love the Father, they lie." Why? Because God says you can't do that. You can't love both. He said, "If any man love the world," he said, "the love of the Father is not in him. There is no middle ground. We are either 100% in this for Christ, or he is not accepting any offering that we bring. And mind you, every time that you come to church, it is an offering unto God. It is a giving of our heart. It is an attendance to worship and serve and to adore him. And God knows the difference between those that truly are and are not. He's not fooled. Heaven or hell? Is there a middle ground with that one? Vicki, would you come and get us a song? Jesus never spoke of a purgatory. He never spoke of anything other than that one and the other one. Let me be clear about eternity. There is no middle ground. You'll either believe in the name of Jesus Christ and get into the glory of that eternal place, or you will die lost and spend an also eternity in the torments of hell. How awful. Right? That's what some think. How awful God would send someone to hell. Let me be clear. Number one, he can do anything he wants to. Your breath he gives to you. Right? The blink of your eye is in his every control. He is the creator. You are the created. The pot won't tell the maker of the pot, why did you do this? No. Why? Because he is God. But then to think that that God would send his son. Oh my. To die for the likes of me. Is beyond comprehension that he would love me so. And that he would come to me. See, I didn't go to God. I wasn't scratching on the door saying, let me in. I'm going to drown. No. No, it was God came cruising by and said, you need to get in. He came to me. Apostle Paul said, I'm the debtor. He don't owe me a thing. Never did. But I owe him. I owe him every breath. I get to go to heaven. I don't have to go to hell. I'm not going to hell because of Jesus. I owe him every single breath. And it's yours. My life, it's yours. It ain't mine. He bought it. That's right. It's his. Shame on me for bringing anything to God that's left over. Seconds, thirds. Let the world have all of me it could have all week long, and I stagger into church and have nothing for God. He won't accept it. He won't accept it. Heaven or hell, there's no middle ground. If you don't know him tonight, simple invitation. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He's done all the work. He did all the lifting. Everything's done. And all he asks from you and me today is to accept, to believe, to trust in him. And having been born again by the Spirit of the Holy God, I am now a son of God. And I can assure you, it's not a burden for me to come. It's not a burden for me to serve God. Now, is it hard? Sometimes, yeah. But is it a burden? It's a joy. It's a privilege. It is an absolute wondrous thing to be able just to get here and try to offer unto my Savior something that would honor his name. There's no middle ground. Come get a song. If you're here and you need him tonight, Jeb, this wasn't just for you. But hear me. When you get out there, even though you're going to a Christian college, even though you're going to be advantaged above most by going to that place, don't you ever forget and think that there is a compromise that God accepts. Listen to me. God cares about you. And what he wants from you is your best. In everything you do, give your best to God. Allow no middle ground, no compromise. You serve God in everything you do. And I'll assure you, what I wrote in that card to you will be true. It'll come true. Oh, he loves us. But he's nobody's fool. He's nobody's doormat. He's nobody's rug. He's a holy, righteous God. And he deserves nothing but our best. Let's give it to him. Stand as we sing.